Section, Commencement of Things Hereafter. The visions are now seen from above. The thrones, their occupants, their occupation. Page 16. A door opened in heaven. After these things I saw, and behold, a door opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard as of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show thee the things which must take place after these things. After these things is the prophetic formula for closing up one subject and opening one quite different. Specially marked is it, in this instance, because the sphere is totally changed, from earth to heaven. All the Spirit's phraseology in Scripture must be carefully noted, for it is the fullness of wisdom condensed into the fewest words. Behold, mark it well, something calling for more than the ordinary observation. A door opened. This is a sentence peculiar to Philadelphian condition, where the opened door is a characteristic feature, and consequent upon keeping his word. Indeed, the Lord had the very same principle in view when speaking to Nathanael, the force of which is not always seen. It will be remembered that Jesus had said to him, in answer to Nathanael's question, How do you know me? I saw you before Philip called you. On Nathanael owning him Son of God, King of Israel, Jesus virtually says, Do you take my word for what I say? An opened heaven is yours from henceforth. I have no secrets from the man who takes my word for what I say. So it is to Philadelphia, I have set before thee an opened door, because thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. And as in the other case, it is heaven opened. Take a contrary example in Nicodemus. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I shall tell you of heavenly things? Hence the way to learn all heavenly truth is the acceptance of that which he is as come down. I am the bread that came down. And unless a man eats of Jesus as come down bread, he can know nothing of him when, as Son of Man, he has ascended up where he was before. It is as true now as it was then that there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. By an opened door in heaven, then, John is called upon to behold what takes place upon the earth in vindication of the trampled rights of God and his Christ. Patience has had her perfect work. Long-suffering has been mocked at. 2 Peter 3. The trumpet and the voice of words, Hebrews 12:10, are now heard in heaven instead of on earth. A significant fact taken in conjunction with the total disappearance of the seven churches from this book henceforward. The trumpet, a voice first heard at Sinai, which the people could not listen to, first calls the sleeping and the living saints to meet the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4, in the air. Then, in respect of anticipative revelation, was heard by a living witness of the church on earth, where alone judgment could be pronounced on its earthly career. Now, as this scripture instructs us, from heaven, in respect to Jew and Gentile. All is in divine harmony with Hebrews 12:26 and 27, whose voice then shook the earth, Sinai. But now he hath promised, saying, Yet once more I shake, not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removal of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things that cannot be shaken may remain. As the wonders of the divine panorama unfold to our gaze, we shall see many of God's people moving in the troubled scenes depicted. Some we shall recognize as the chosen people, and some from among the nations, but never church condition as we now know it. Its voice may be heard when an elder is speaking. Its garments may be seen when an opened heaven discloses the celestial armies following their head. Its beauty may be disclosed as a holy city of gold, and jasper is seen descending over a purified and righteousness-loving earth. But all these things are its heavenly, not its earthly aspect, which closed once and for all when it rose to meet its Lord, according to the divine appointment in 1 Thessalonians 4. The church was never the subject of prophecy from God's point of view. How could His presence be called a dark place? Man's presence is a dark place indeed. And therefore, from man's point of view, prophecy does speak of her, as we have seen in the seven epistles. For there the light is shining in darkness to reveal, alas, the eclipse she has suffered as a testimony for God in the earth. Page 17. A Throne Set in Heaven. Immediately I became in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood in the heaven, and upon the throne one sitting. And he that was sitting, like in appearance to a stone of jasper, and a sardius, and a rainbow round the throne, like in appearance to an emerald. Immediately I was in the Spirit. The immediateness of the Spirit's action is remarkable all through the New Testament. The instant recognition of glory to Christ, because of the extraordinary place of condescension he had taken in becoming man, seems to be the prominent reason. Man is slow, God quick to recognize such rare perfection. A throne was set in heaven, and one sat on it. The foundation of all governmental action is the throne. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. This applies to Christ, of course. But God is introducing his Christ into this place of glory which he has won as man. God, therefore, is the one who sits upon the throne here. His person no man hath seen, nor can see. It is by his character we know him, and by his character the Spirit here gives us his aspect. He is to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, two characteristics the exact opposite of each other. For the jasper is transparent, clear as crystal, the sardine, carnelian, opaque. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, is a sardine stone. But I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. This, taken in conjunction with He that hath seen me hath seen the Father, is jasper. Hence the holy city, the New Jerusalem, when seen descending out of heaven from God, is only described by jasper, a stone most precious, clear as crystal. She has the glory of God, Christ. Her wall is of jasper, for the glory of God surrounds her, keeps her in on every side. And what a mine of wealth for interpretation is the high priest's breastplate, the Urim and Thummim for our hearts. For the first and the last is there seen to be not jasper and sardius as here, but sardius and jasper. He who was sardius under the law has ended as jasper by the revelation of his Son in us. Will anyone say this is fanciful? Will anyone urge that the 12 stones represented the 12 tribes? Come, then, let us interpret them so, and read the glory of God, Christ, that way. Sardine, Reuben. Jasper, Benjamin. Reuben, thou art my firstborn, my might, the first fruits of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. Genesis 49:3. Benjamin. She called his name Ben-Oni, son of my sorrow, but his father called him Benjamin, son of the right hand. Genesis 35:18. Are not both Christ? And while we have the breastplate before us, let us look at the beautiful emerald also. See it there, the last stone of the first row? That represents Levi. Moses shall interpret this time. Of Levi, he said, thy Thummim and thy Urim are with thy godly one, or him whom thou lovest. Deuteronomy 33:8. So, after all, that beauteous rainbow, the emblem of that sevenfold covenant made with creation, Genesis 9:8-17, was Christ, thy godly one, him whom thou lovest. Does it not really make one doubt whether one can be in the body or out of the body to see the throne, set out for judgment too, resplendent with these tokens of God's beauteous Son? Truly, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And here, on the very throne of judgment, can Christ be to God other than he always was? impossible. But what a guarantee for Israel! What a guarantee for creation! Him whom thou lovest shall protect creation. The excellency of power, the Son of thy right hand, shall protect Israel. The beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. And what shall we say to these things? A good deal, both now and presently. This is what we say now. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Romans 5:2. Another thing we now say is, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have contemplated his glory, a glory as of an only begotten with a Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:4. Another thing we can say is, of his fullness have all we received, and grace upon grace. John 1:16. But presently, 24 thrones will be seen encircling the throne. And then we shall think of his words, the glory that thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one as we are one. John 17:22. Page 18. 24 surrounding thrones. And round the throne, 24 thrones, and on the thrones 24 elders sitting, clothed with white garments, and on their heads golden crowns. Next to the importance of the central throne and its divine occupants, and the attendants of its majesty, comes the wondrous announcement of 24 thrones in its immediate vicinity, thrones in the presence of the throne of God himself. Far too wonderful to contemplate were it not God's word we have before us. These 24 thrones are expressed by the same word that expresses the central throne, and we dare not make less of them than God does. But who are the sitters thereon? 24 elders, clad in white garments, and having on their heads crowns of gold. How come they here? First, they must have had a title. Secondly, an invitation, and both divine. No creature whatever, man or angel, can be in God's presence without both. An angel is elect and a minister. A man is elect, appointed king and priest. The only persons spoken of in Scripture answering to these distinctions are those in Israel and from among the Gentiles who have been called by faith into God's assembly. It appears to be a sine qua non that it should be by faith, because there are kings and priests who reign over the earth, who are the theme of the song of the heavenly ones, and we know that their title will be derived from having seen and believed, and so owned their Lord. But why 24, seeing that God's arrangements are distinguished by 12 where administration is indicated? The answer is that Jew and Gentile, having been brought in by faith, 2 12s are necessary to indicate them. All knowledge being found in God's Word, we instinctively turn to 1 Chronicles 24, where much valuable help is obtained. We find there 24 princes of the sanctuary, princes of God, sons of Aaron, appointed by David to serve in the temple of Solomon. But the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, having died by judgment, the flesh cannot serve in God's temple, the sons of Eleazar, whom God has helped, and the sons of Ithamar, palm trees of delight, in all 24, are selected and appointed. The righteous shall flourish as a palm tree, brings an Israelite to our mind, while God is our help, the Lord is my helper, are expressions found in the mouth of Jew and Gentile, respectively. 8 from Ithamar and 16 from Eleazar make our 24, and give us help. Having therefore obtained help from God, let us ask another question. How did these 24 get into this place of security and dignity, and thus be found there at a time when judgment is the theme of every tongue? Scripture again must be our interpreter. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before translation he had the testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that draws near to God must believe that he is, has faith in him, and that he is a rewarder of them that seek him out. Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. Verily, these have their reward. 1 Thessalonians 4:13-17 gives particulars. One more question. What is their special function so close to the throne of the Eternal? It is written, "Things which eye hath not seen, and ear not heard, and which have not come into man's heart, which God hath prepared for them that love him." God has revealed to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, even the depths of God. The spiritual discerns all things, having the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapters 9 through 16. How righteous is God! Righteous in his bestowments, righteous in his judgments. These 24 enthroned elders are the witness to heaven, earth, and hell that God is righteous. Righteous to whom? Righteous in himself, righteous to Christ. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me, and I have made known to them thy name, and will make it known, that the love with which thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. John 17, verses 25 and 26. White raiment, the effect of divine righteousness. Gold, divine righteousness in its preciousness. Crowns, more than conquerors. Sitting, work done. Clothed, enveloped with divine covering. Page 19. The appointments of the throne preparatory to action. And out of the throne go forth lightnings, and voices, and thunders, and seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne as a glass sea, like crystal, and in the midst of the throne, and around the throne, four living creatures, full of eyes, before and behind, and the first living creature like a lion, and the second living creature like a calf, and the third living creature having the face as of a man, and the fourth living creature like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each one of them having respectively six wings, round and within they are full of eyes, and they cease not, day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come." And when the living creatures shall give glory and honor and thanksgiving to him that sits upon the throne, who lives to the ages of ages, the 24 elders shall fall before him that sits upon the throne, and do homage to him that lives to the ages of ages, and shall cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Thou art worthy, O our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy will they were, and they have been created." Lightnings, thunderings, voices. These are the accompaniments of the divine majesty. We shall hear them twice more during the progress of the prophecy, but intensified. At Sinai they were heard, only there smoke was added, for certain reasons. Here, creation being the object in view, the symbols of majesty are few and simple, as compared with some others, as blood, fire, smoke, earthquake, hail. Here it is voices only, but there are also voice of trumpet, voice of words, and so forth. Under his glory he shall kindle a burning like the burning of a fire, and the light of Israel shall be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. Isaiah 10, verses 16 and 17. Seven spirits: Spirit of Jehovah, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, fear of Jehovah. Isaiah 11, 2. A sea of glass. Not water, for that would indicate cleansing needed. The remembrance only was needed. The fact was accomplished. The four living creatures are around and in the middle of the throne, that is, near to him that sits thereon. Their function appears to be to worship him for what he is in himself. The elders do this, but in addition give divine reasons for what is done by him. In fact, the elders always speak giving divine reasons. The living creatures never. But the latter have intelligence of what is done from every point of view and from every aspect in which created beings can view it, whether as lion, steer, man, or eagle. Moreover, their intelligence is viewed in another aspect. Like the cherubim on the ark, they gaze on abstract perfection, but still what he is. And this being constant, they rest not day and night, expressing his threefold holiness, titles, and eternity. The elders, as redeemed, have wisdom to tell his acts and why. Jehovah, Elohim, Shaddai, the covenant and the dispensational names of God, not the relationship name to the church, which is God and Father. None of the terrors of the throne, nor the symbols of judgment, move the elders. They sit peacefully on their thrones. But as soon as the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him that sits on the throne, that moves them directly. They fall down, they worship, they cast their crowns at his feet, and worship him that liveth forever and ever, saying, Thou art worthy, O our Lord and our God. Thomas, John 20, verse 28. To receive glory and honor and power. Elders say power because their function is worship. Living creatures say thanksgiving because their function is power. But as usual, the elders add the reason. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they exist and were created. Creation, however, not having fulfilled its function through man's default, comes under the judgment of the throne at this time. What is suitable to the august majesty of the Eternal when he sits upon the throne? The sevenfold Spirit of God is there. The Lamb, as we shall presently see, is there. The fixed, eternal, unchangeable holiness of the throne is indicated. But, in addition to this, God has ordained that intelligent observers of his doings shall be there also. This is so wonderful that one hardly trusts oneself to say anything. Still, it is his appointment, and it is his glory that there should be beings there to understand what he does, and to worship. There could be no worship without understanding. Page 20. The unfolding of the divine purpose can only be known on the basis of redemption fully accomplished. And I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book, written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals? And no one was able in the heaven, or upon the earth, or underneath the earth, to open the book or to regard it. And I wept much because no one had been found worthy to open the book nor to regard it. And one of the elders says to me, Do not weep. Behold, the Lion, which is of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals. Competent power now exists to unfold divine purpose. In the center of all God's ways of power and providence is the Lamb as slain. He only can open out the ways and purposes of God's right hand. And I saw in, not on, the right hand of the throne sitter. This is always a title, not a description only. In the right hand finds authority from the same use of the preposition Revelation 22:1. A book, that is, a roll of writing, not a book with leaves as we use. It was written on both sides, external and internal, not only acts and deeds, but thoughts and intents, not that which man sees, but what God sees. A portion was rolled up and then sealed, then another portion and sealed, and so on, until seven portions all had been sealed up. A strong angel proclaims in a loud voice, like an usher in a court of justice, Who is able to open the book and to loose its seals? None respond. No one in heaven, no one on earth, no one under the earth could either open or even inspect the roll. Inspect, that is, look upon it as the effect of ocular vision. It was too sacred for any but the divine eye. Of the 13 Greek words translated see, each has its special use. When John says, I saw, it is what his divine intelligence could see, not merely his eyes. As we shall have weeping at various times in this book, it is well at the outset to explain that this term is used to express that emotion of the soul that springs from the sense of hopelessness. Jesus wept over the city because of its hopeless condition as he then beheld it. At the grave of Lazarus he did not so weep. He shed tears, which has another sense, rightly interpreted by the Jews who stood by, "Behold how he loved him!" John, therefore, expressed his sense of the hopelessness of anyone being able to respond to the strong angel's proclamation. "And one of the elders." It must be borne in mind that John, as a prophet, in the Spirit, is not viewed in his church relationship. He knows nothing but what he sees and hears. As the divinely appointed seer, he cannot as such say, "But we have the mind of Christ," 1 Corinthians 2:16. This is the function of the elder. The elder can say what John in his church relationship can say. 1 John 5:18, 19, and 20. "We know, we know, we know," and therefore can say to the seer, "Weep not, there is hope in one." "Hear, Lord, the voice of Judah." Deuteronomy 33:7. Judah is a young lion. He couched down as a lion, as a lioness. Who shall rouse him up? Genesis 49:9. But he is also the root of David, David's Lord, not here his son, that is the offspring of David, and does not come in till the end of the book, chapter 22, verse 16, where he takes the titles of root and offspring. "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world," John 16:33. "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do," John 17:4. Redemption has met the question, who is able to open the book and to loose its seals? Redemption is the answer to all that has happened on the earth since the fall. All those questions that men have perplexed themselves and others with concerning the presence of evil in a world created by a God of infinite goodness are answered a thousandfold in redemption. The Son of God, sent by God to be the Savior of the world, has answered in his own blessed person every attempt brought in stealthily or openly by Satan to destroy man and thwart God's purpose of blessing to him. Redemption, the foundation of all blessing to man, goes far deeper in its range than purchase, and includes every purchased saint in earth and heaven. And still its fathomless ocean is unsounded. God devised it. The Lamb accomplished it in his own blood. Page 21. The Divine Purpose can only be unfolded by him who has accomplished redemption. "And I saw in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures and in the midst of the elders a Lamb standing, as slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God which are sent into all the earth. And it came and took it out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when it took the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, having each a harp and golden bowls full of incenses, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open its seals, because thou hast been slain, and hast redeemed to God by thy blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and made them to our God kings and priests, and they shall reign over the earth. And I saw, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the living creatures and the elders, and their number was 10,000s of 10,000s and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that has been slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in the heaven and upon the earth and under the earth and those that are upon the sea and all things in them heard I saying, To him that sits upon the throne and to the Lamb blessing and honor and glory and might to the ages of ages. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and did homage. In the most central part of the throne, surrounded by the living creatures and the enthroned and crowned elders, stands a lamb as it had been slain. His attributes, completeness of power, completeness of perception, which penetrate as the completeness of the Spirit of God into every part of the earth. And he came and took the roll out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. The communications of the mind of God could only adequately be interpreted and unfolded by one who had acquired the title by death, having been led thereto without resisting evil. The living creatures and the elders prostrate themselves before the Lamb, praising and giving thanks upon the harp, and presenting in receptacles of divine righteousness the prayers of saints still upon earth. For the earth being in question, from the throne, and redemption still to be enforced there, though church relationship is over, mention is made of the power of the blood over those redeemed out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, see chapter 7, verse 9, as well as those who have, by that same blood, been ordained kings and priests, that they may reign upon the earth. This is made the subject of a new song, based on the worthiness of him to take the roll and open the seals. It is a new song, for it is praise in respect to that which had not previously been set forth as part of God's counsel, but redemption has brought it to light. Now, angels could not sing the song which redemption had brought to light. The living creatures could, for by their nature, as a part of the throne, as the cherubim were of the mercy seat, they knew, for it is their function to testify day and night of God's holiness. The elders knew also, for whether they represented those whose sins had been remitted or those whose sins had been pretermitted, that is, whether blood-bought ones of Old or New Testament times, they could praise God for redemption to other saints than themselves, still down on earth under the judgment of the throne. But the angels could not. They know well the worthiness of the Lamb, for they have desired to look into and have known from what they have seen in the church the ever-variegated wisdom of God. They, therefore, express his worthiness to receive sevenfold reward, going far beyond Solomon, who asked for wisdom and got riches added. The slain lamb excels as ever. All created things join in fourfold praise, blessing, honor, glory, power, to God and the Lamb. Every knee shall bow to the once lowly, humbled, obedient, self-emptied one, but now exalted, extolled, and very high. The living ones, as representing the throne, say, Amen, while the elders fall down and worship the Eternal, whose word is represented by Amen. Redemption is a mine of unexplored wealth. Not only have God's ways been vindicated, and all his promises in time past made good, but other purposes, which were not divulged, have been brought forth, some now in progress, others not yet made good. But we can go further and say that much can only be disclosed in glory. What shall not the cross disclose which is yet untold, and some of which can never be told, even in glory?